God, our Father in heaven, we come into your presence this morning so thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us that grants to us the privilege. The only way that we can enter into your presence is through Jesus Christ and through his sacrifice on the cross and through faith in him. And so we come to you this morning, so thankful for the Lord Jesus. And on this special Sunday, first Sunday of a new year, first Sunday of a new decade, and the first Sunday of communion in this decade, we pray, Lord, as we stand before you, that we would be very, very aware of your presence here in our midst, and that we would turn our hearts and our minds to you, and that we would seek you and seek your presence and commit ourselves to you anew for this entire year that is before us. Lord, we do not know what will transpire, but you do. And as long as we know that we're in your hand, we know that we are safe because we're where you have determined for us to be. We are reminded of the word of the psalmist, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Father, we stand before you this morning, each one with our own needs, our own concerns, our own hopes and aspirations, and our own fears of the future. But Father in heaven, we know that we can commit all of these things to you, knowing that our help is in you, that you are the maker of heaven and earth, and that you are our God. And so as we open your word together this morning, we pray your Holy Spirit to come, be present with us, to speak to us. Let us tune our ears to hear deep within our hearts what you would say to us through his work here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what will this year, what will this decade bring? Who knows? That's the simple answer. Who knows? We do not know. Every year is full of uncertainty. Who knows what will it bring? Only the Lord. What will become of the Middle East tensions? We don't know. He knows. What of North Korea? What of the diplomatic standoff between China and Canada? What about what's going on in Hong Kong? What about the earthquakes, the flash floods, the fires, the volcanoes that seem to have no end? We live in a broken, fallen world. It's been that way since Adam and Eve sinned against God in the garden and obeyed Satan instead of God, and that gave Satan ownership. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's very much alive and active in our world. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you're not watching the news, right? And it's not going to get better. The world is becoming more confused and needy, and it keeps spiraling downwards. Canada, for the fourth year in a row, is listed as the number one country in the world for quality of life. How's that for cool? You like that? I wonder who decides that. I wonder if it's the CEOs, the top executives in the country, that decide that. Do you know that Canada's top 100 CEOs have already pocketed more money by Friday of this past week than the average Canadian will earn all year? Notice my turn of language here. Okay? They have pocketed. The rest will earn. More and more people struggle to make ends meet in spite of that. The working poor, employed with full-time work, yet relying more and more and more on food banks. We hear the appeals. 65% of Canadians are living one paycheck from bankruptcy. 80% of Canadians can't afford to retire as the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I'm reminded of the words that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Boy, that sounds like that was written yesterday. What will this year hold for us? Will it be the year that Jesus comes? Well, it might well be the year the Lord comes to claim his bride, the church, you and I, if you know him. I do, so I know I'm part of it. Most of you do as well. Well, it might be the year, but we don't know. Everything's ready for it. The signs are certainly all present. There isn't anything more that has to happen in order to be ready for the Lord's coming. He just needs to say, now's the day, and come. But we are exhorted in Scripture to watch and be ready. Always be ready for the Lord's return. But we're also told to be busy about the work that God has given us on earth, living for him, serving him faithfully in whatever capacity that he has given us, and the opportunities that he lays before us. In every area of our lives, God invites him every day, invites us rather, every day to trust him and to seek his presence. I submit to you that true happiness and fulfillment in life, come what may, is rooted in knowing God in Jesus Christ and trusting him and purposing to live our lives to his glory. It's this focus that will keep our vision clear and help us to live in 2020 with 2020 eyesight. 2020 is good, right, Ty? Right. You prayed for him as he went through those eye procedures. And now back to 2020. Hopefully, though, through this year, we will have better eyesight than a certain gentleman had hearing. His hearing was failing. So he purchased a new hearing aid. And he was so delighted with the results, he said to his neighbor, he says, you know, I just bought this new hearing aid. It cost me nearly $4,000, but it's state of the art. It's perfect. Really? What kind is it? Oh, it's 1230. Paul, in his writing to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14, I believe gives us a message, if you will, that will enable us to see in 2020 throughout this next year. Let's read this passage from Colossians 1, beginning at verse 3, in unison together. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace with all its truth. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In this passage, I would like to point out, first of all, the heart of Paul's prayer. This is Paul's prayer for the church at Colossians. The heart of his prayer is this phrase, that we would be filled with the knowledge of God. We have not stopped praying for you, Paul says, and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And here was the purpose for which he was praying, that we might live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way. And we pray this, Paul said, we read it together, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. What an awesome purpose statement for each one of us at the first Sunday of a new year. That throughout this year we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and that we would live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him every day and every way. This is the life I submit to you that glorifies Christ. This is what 2020 living is all about, because the closer you are to Christ, the clearer you can see. The every way that Paul is referring to it, the summation of it is from verses 10 through 14. And Paul has a progression of thought here that I'm just going to touch on, that bearing fruit, okay? That's what God accomplishes through our good works as we undertake to serve him through serving others. Growing in the knowledge of God. And that word in the original means the experience, how you walk with God, how you're experiencing God, growing in your knowledge of who he is and how he is at work in your life, and strengthened by his strength that gives us endurance and patience because of we're relying on his strength in us. I am weak, but he is strong. And then Paul reminds us that our motivation, what causes us to give joyful thanks to God in every circumstance that we might face, is that God has qualified us. He has qualified us. We haven't qualified ourselves. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. That's pretty amazing. And that he has rescued us from Satan's dominion. That he has brought us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. With this knowledge, it makes me want to fall on my face before him. And it makes me want to serve him and live for him every day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The life that is worthy of the Lord and is pleasing to God is a life that, I'm just going to touch on a few of these, growing in the knowledge of God. What an awesome privilege to know God. Think about it. It's a privilege that's bought for us with the very blood of his own Son at Calvary. Never take for granted or take frivolously or lightly what it means to come into the personal presence of a holy God who loves you so much that he gave his Son to die for you on the cross. Fall on your face before him in your heart and worship him. The worthy life is a life that is growing into maturity in Christ, a life that seeks to know Christ better and better every day. I don't mean what one knows about God or knows about Christ, but knowing him and experiencing him and walking with him and talking with him, like the hymn writer said, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me, I am his own. C.S. Lewis, in his, I guess we could call it a classic book, Mere Christianity. It's old enough now, it should be a classic. Everyone should read that book. He writes these words. A car is made to run on gasoline. He's British. He used the word petrol. Okay, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That's why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself because it's not there. There is no such thing. What are you looking for in 2020? Oh, you could list all kinds of things, couldn't you? You know, one of the things, it's just a little frivolous thing I'll just throw in, that I would really like to, you and I'd love to see. I'd like to see Tim Hortons get back to making a good cup of coffee like it used to. Yeah, I don't know if they've ever done a decent donut, but... Exactly. I used to carry a Timmy card. It used to be my second office just down the street, but not anymore. Called Sign of the Times. Some of the things you would list would be good, some not so good, because it would not necessarily be in our best interests. You know what I found out in life? I found out that the older you get, the more thankful you become, that God hasn't answered all your prayers the way you wanted. Right? It's not the what, though, that's the most important thing. It's the who. It's the who. And that's the point I want to make this morning. Whom are you seeking? What is Jesus to you? And who is he to you? Who is he going to be to you this year? There's a song. As I was going over this and penning these words last night, that came to me as a chorus that we used to sing. You can pull the words. There, I did. I'm going, oh, was it too late? Did I actually remember to put the words there? I did. It's a chorus. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. I was trying to sync it with her playing, but I wasn't getting there. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you? There are two verses. There is a subtle change between the first verse and the second verse. One is the way I remembered it, and the other is the way Joan said she found it on the internet. So, and both are valid. So they make two verses for us. Would you just join me? Just sing the song. It's easy to learn. Ready? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He is my dreaming. He is my everything. Now I'm with you. He is my. Isn't that the neatest little chorus? Funny thing is, I remember when it was new. Strengthened by the power of Christ. So growing in the knowledge of God and strengthened by the power of Christ. Being strengthened with all power, Paul writes, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Do you lack strength? Of course you do. So do I. Rely on his strength. He has promised to be your strength. This is a picture of trust, of resting in him and relying on his strength according to his glorious might instead of your own strength. What a contrast there. According to his glorious might, the might of God, the one who made the universe, instead of your own strength, which by comparison is very weak, very puny. The result is that we will have great endurance and patience as we rely on his strength. In this case, endurance and patience means stickability. It means never giving up. It means walking with the Lord and not turning aside. It means staying the course. Paul, as he's penning these words, recognized that the end of his life was fast approaching. And he wrote to Timothy these words, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." The life that pleases God, the life that is worthy of the Lord, is a life that stays the course, that finishes well, that does not sacrifice one's testimony in the Lord, that does not turn away from a life that pleases God, but in his strength endures to the very end and sticks with it every day. Finish every day well, folks. Determine at the outset of the year that you want to finish every day well. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Are you running the race? Are you running the race well? Are you fighting the good fight against Satan's activities in your life, because he wants to get you down? He wants to take you aside. Oh, he knows he can't get you back. Because if you're the Lord's, you're the Lord's. But boy, he can sure be at work to work against you. Are you praying about that and committing that to the Lord? Is there anything in your life that is not pleasing to God? Paul concludes with these words, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness." That's the prize. You know, you and I cannot even begin to imagine all that will transpire, the greatest celebration in the heavens since the resurrection. Do you know what that is? The greatest celebration in the heavens since the resurrection? It's the marriage feast of the Lamb that occurs right after Christ has come and claimed his church, his bride, and we're in heaven with him. The bridegroom coming to claim his bride, and all true believers in him who have received him. This is our assurance. This is our hope that views the present. Whatever is happening, we need to view the present with that future in mind. With that future as the backdrop. That affects everything in our present. It should affect how we view what's happening in the present, how we view what happens in the world. For in the distant and not too distant future, God's goal for us will be achieved, home in heaven. And then, after that, he returns as king to this world, and he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with his bride, with all the armies of heaven, and he crushes the armies of the world at the Battle of Armageddon. It's all written about in Revelation. It will happen. And then he is seated on the throne of David for 1,000 years, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then, when Jesus ultimately brings history to its conclusion with the final judgment which will come, the songwriter captured all of these in a song. I just want to read the words for you. Just allow the Holy Spirit just to talk to you and take you into heaven as you hear these words. "When he shall come, resplendent in his glory, to take his own from out this veil of night, oh, may I know the joy at his appearing, only at morn to walk with him in white. When I shall stand within the court of heaven, where white-robed pilgrims pass before my sight, earth's martyred saints and blood-washed overcomers, these then are they who walk with him in white. When he shall call from earth's remotest corners all who have stood triumphant in his might, oh, to be worthy then to stand beside him, and in that morn to walk with him in white." He's coming. It may be this year. It may be today. We do not know. It may not be for another decade. We do not know. But until he comes, let's serve him with a clear vision, 2020. 2020. Let's determine to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and determine to live a life that's worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him every day in every way. This is the life that glorifies God. This is 2020 living. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Father in heaven, we stand before you in your holy presence this morning. We're so awed by who you are. We're so humbled by the knowledge that you came to live amongst us and you came to die on the cross to pay the price of our sin. And we're so awed by the fact that you care so much for us. You're present here in our midst. And you know everything there is to know about each and every one of us. Father in heaven, I pray for those this morning who have just have some decisions to make about their walk with you. And we pray that you would just grant them the courage and that this time around the table would just be a time of deepening that commitment to you. We pray for those who may be here this morning who are on a journey to come to know you. And we pray that you would come alongside of them and help them in this time to sense your presence and to know your love and that your arms are open wide. But Lord, on that day that you come, the crowning act of redemption's story is when you claim your bride. We wait for that day that is coming when we will sing the song of Moses and the Lamb of Heaven. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of kings, King of the ages. For the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. But until that day, or the day you call us home, we will eat this bread, your body broken for us, reminds us of, and we will drink this cup in remembrance of the price you paid for our salvation. Father in heaven, may we ask you to purify our hearts so that we may live a life that is worthy of you and pleasing in your sight. Bless us now, we pray, in these sacred moments together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, as we stand on the brink of this new year, the first thing we want to do is affirm our love and our faith in you. As we participate in communion for the first time in 2020, we give you special thanks for this bread, a symbol of your precious body broken for us. Cause our eyes to focus on you and on your great sacrifice for mankind, and as we look to the year ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Receive the bread.
Lord God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son from glory to become a blood sacrifice for our sins. Truly, Father, we are sinners and we need redemption. And we marvel at the care and the love you have for us in sending your Son. As we partake of this cup, may we remember the sacrifice that he made for us. Amen.
Remember and send thanks to him. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit just to fall afresh upon us. May your divine benediction, may your strengthening and your enabling go with us now as we go out into this world, into the lives that you have given to us. May we live for you each and every day. This is our prayer to the glory of Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and Happy New Year.